And greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is restoring original Christianity for today. And we teach directly from the Scriptures. We do not teach any traditions of men, regardless of what religion they may come from. We preach from the Word of God, comparing Scripture with Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, so that we put together completely the understanding that God has given us in His Word. Now, there are certain things that need to be done in understanding the Bible and studying the Bible. That's why we mention very regularly the 14 rules of Bible study, so that you can download that. We have it on our website, and you can take that and use it as a guide. So in restoring original Christianity for today, let's ask the question, who is God, and where is God? Because a lot of people, they don't know if God exists. And the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. But I can also see why so many atheists reject what they see as the religion of men. But in rejecting that, they're rejecting God and saying God doesn't exist. And furthermore, there's no such thing as evolution. That is a myth and a figment of the imagination of hard-hearted men whose minds are blinded, who think that they are intellectual, that as Paul said, when they declare themselves to be wise, they become fools. So let's ask the question, who is God? Where is God? And then in another segment, we'll find out, how do I find God? Let's begin in the New Testament, in the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Because most people think there is a God of the Old Testament, that's the harsh, mean, cruel God, and there's the God of the New Testament with Jesus, who is loving, who is kind, who is good, and just accepts everyone as they are. And that is also a false impression of God. So we can begin to answer the question, who is God, by answering the question, who is Jesus? Now, Paul wrote of this in Colossians, the first chapter, so let's begin in verse 16. Because by him, he's talking of Jesus Christ, were all things created, the things in heaven, the things on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether they be thrones or lordships or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. So Jesus Christ was creator. Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament. And when he came into flesh, he was God manifested in the flesh. And he came to reveal the Father. In the Old Testament, there are very few places referring to the Father. But in the New Testament, Jesus came to reveal the Father so that we can have a personal relationship with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. So we need to ask the question, who is God? Well, Jesus was creator. We'll talk about that in the book of Isaiah in a little bit. Now notice, verse 17, and he is before all, and by him all things subsist. The very fact that you live and breathe and have being, whether you know God or not, whether you are righteous or not, whether you are converted or not, and the very fact that the earth is upheld by the word of his power and everything on the earth, that all comes through Jesus Christ because he created it all. Now that may come as an astounding revelation to you, but that's what the Bible teaches. Now let's notice. Verse 18 tells us a little bit more. For he is the head of the body, the church, and there is a church. Not the churches that you see with buildings and cathedrals necessarily, but the spiritual body of those who have the Spirit of God are the church. And it's not the vast majority who go on the broad way. Jesus said, few that find it. All right. Come down here a little further, and it says, who is the beginning, the firstborn from among the dead? And the beginning there doesn't mean he was created. This is talking about the beginning of the spiritual creation from being changed from flesh to spirit by the resurrection, of which Christ was the firstborn from among the dead, so that in all things he himself might hold the preeminence. So there we go. That tells us who Jesus was. Now let's look in the Old Testament and see how this is confirmed, because this becomes very important. Now let's understand another thing as we're turning to Isaiah 40. Let's understand something else. You cannot combine the creation of God and evolution. You cannot say, oh, a day to the Lord is 1,000 years, so don't you think that the 7 days in Genesis were 1,000 years long? No, not at all. Some people say, well, everything was created in 7 days. Really? Since God is eternal, what was he doing for all eternity until the last 6,000 years? Nothing? No. We'll get into that a little bit later. How that there was a first creation, then the rebellion of Satan, the devil, the destruction of the earth, and the renewal of the earth. So how old is the earth? Well, we don't know. But it's certainly much older than 6,000 years. Now let's come to Isaiah 40 and see what God says here about himself. And this becomes very important when we're trying to understand our relationship with God. Because too many men think that they can command God what to do. But if they do that, you see, and we'll get into that in another segment when we cover some things in the book of Job. He thought his righteousness was more than God's until he met God. Then it was another story. See? So think of this, how great God is, how great Jesus Christ is. And remember that nothing came into being that he didn't create. Now let's pick it up here, Isaiah 40 and verse 12. He's speaking to the intellectuals. He's speaking to those who believe in evolution. And they still can't answer all the questions. God, by command, made the things in the heavens, brought them into being with the word of his power. And little men down here try to get colliders so they can find one little spark of fusion. And they spend billions and billions of dollars for that European collider. They got it all going, test ran it, and it didn't work. And they think they're all so intelligent. Yet they look at the sun, which is a continuous fusion of heat and light, which God created for the earth. And they say, that evolved. That came from nothing. Really? Well, the next time your bank account is empty and there's nothing in it, just think. And bring money in it. Doesn't happen. So here God challenges men. You think you're smart. You think you're so intellectual. You can build these machines. You can go to the moon. You can send these satellites that go out into space and go to Mars and go clear out into the universe. You have wild ideas about, oh, there may be life somewhere else. Nonsense. Here's what God says. Verse 12. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span? Who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has? What man can do that? Oh, you look at these great professors and archaeologists and paleontologists and scientists that understand supposedly about the heavens. Have you told God anything? Have you added anything to what God has done? What have you done? Compared to God? Nothing. Now notice, verse 13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who's going to tell God what to do? Who's going to say, God, do this? Or who's going to say, God, I don't like that Old Testament. I'm going to do away with it, and you better agree with me. And who was his counselor that he might instruct him? Has anybody taught God? Where's the man that says, I went to heaven to the throne of God, and I instructed God what to do, and I've come back here to the earth to tell you what God wants? Jesus Christ is the one who comes to tell us what God wants. God himself is the one who tells us what he wants. We are the thing that is created. And shall we as the created thing say to the Creator, what are you making? Oh, it's quite a challenge, isn't it? Verse 14. With whom did he take counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him? Who went to God and said, God, I got a plan. Here's how to create the universe. Here's how to make the earth. Never happened. Never happened. You see the foolishness and folly of men. They get all expanded in their vanity, and they look at themselves and declare themselves great and righteous and holy or intelligent and superior. And they forget that they have every breath that they breathe by the grace of God. And if God wanted to, that's the end of it. Now where is their intelligence? Now where is their arrogance? Now where is their presumptuousness? Huh? See, you have to know who God is. God is not called the Lord God Almighty for nothing. He is not called Creator because he sat back and did nothing. Notice, he challenges you. How does God look at the world and the earth? Oh, men, they want power to rule. They want power to have people and nations subjected to them. How does God look at all the nations? Oh, Satan told Jesus, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these nations because it's been delivered to me, and I give it to whomsoever I will. A clue as to who guides the super elite of the world. Jesus did not yield to that temptation. Now let's notice here. Verse 15, behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket. You do this, you get a gallon jar, and you take an eyedropper, and you drop one drop of water in that gallon jug. That's the sum total of all the nations and everything on the earth compared to the greatness of God. That's who God is. Let's go on. And are counted as the small dust in the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. All the islands in the world are just a little teeny thing to God. So you need to, first of all, understand who God is. Understand how great he is. Understand what he has done, what he's created. And he's created it so that he can have a relationship with us if we come to him his way through Christ. Let's continue now. Verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. Now understand that. Wrap your mind around that. Put your thoughts on that. think how great God is that that is so. Notice what he says. He gives a challenge. He says to all men, consider all these things that we've just covered here. Then he says, all right, now, let's be reasonable and look at it the way that it should be from God's perspective. Verse 18, to whom then will you compare God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? That's why you need the article, 90 Facts About God, and understand this, that we have been made in the image of God, male and female. And we'll talk in other segments about the purpose of life, why God created us. But in order to have a relationship with God, we have got to understand who God is and the greatness of God and what he is doing and how we can approach him. We'll cover all of those as we go along. But here's the mistake that men make. Men like to have something physical to look at. So they make idols. They make images of God. Build great myths around them, like the myths of the gods of the Egyptians and Babylonians and Romans and Egyptians and so forth. So here's what they do. Verse 19, the workman melts a graven image and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and casts silver chains. Make a beautiful idol. Oh, we're overwhelmed with the beauty and the power and the statue and the height of this great, huge, colossal idol. Men are impressed with that. God isn't. Furthermore, what are they doing? They're breaking the second commandment, which says, you shall not make unto yourselves any graven image of any likeness that's in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And you shall not bow yourself down to serve them. For I, the Lord your God, as creator, as we're reading here, is a jealous God. Why would he give his honor to some stupid idol that men make? And bringing upon the children the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me. So if you make an idol, you hate God. Oh, well, we're well intended. We want this to be beautiful. And as a Catholic priest was cornered on a radio program by someone who said, why do you worship idols? Oh, we don't worship them, we venerate them. Missed the whole point. God said, don't make them. So how did you get them? Just like this. Now notice, verse 20. This is really quite hilarious. He who is too poor for that offering chooses a tree that will not rot. In the Northwest, in the United States, they're called totem poles. And they carve ugly faces on them. And those are the faces of the spirits. He seeks a skillful workman for himself to prepare a graven image that will not totter. Isn't that utter stupidity? That's why you need the article, The 90 Facts About God, which reveal from the Bible all about God. And you need to understand, why did God make you in his image, and what is the purpose of that? And we'll get to that in future segments. So God says, looking at this, looking down at all the idols and all the nations, if you just place yourself kind of in a satellite fixed orbit and let the earth pass around, if you could look down on the earth, you could see all the cities, you could see all the cathedrals, you could see all of the mighty monuments that they make, and all the things that men have made for their religions and say, this is God. Here's God's answer to them. Verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Because God manifested to those who claim themselves to be wise by the things that he made, to reveal his eternal power in Godhead. Verse 22, he who sits above the circle of the earth. They knew the earth was round, never any question about it, until the Dark Ages, ruled by clerics from Rome. He who sits above the circle of the earth, so God's throne is in heaven. We'll see that a little later. And its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in them. Get some of these CDs which show the beauty of the universe, the beauty of the stars, the beauty of the earth, the beauty of the ocean, and look at those things and see what God has made. They can go down miles deep into the ocean, right there where they have these smoking chimneys of methane gas coming up, and guess what's there? Life. Because God is life giver. And all these puny little pinheaded men who believe in global warming, nonsense. Let's go on. Verse 23. Here's how God views the rulers of this world compared to him, who brings the rulers to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth as vanity. Isn't that something? What happens to the society when that takes place? Well, all you have to do is look at the world today and see what the mess it is in. And all you have to do is look at the United States today, the United Kingdom, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, and understand how the people of God have left God and look what's happening to them. Are their governments vain? Are their rulers vain? Do they have unjust laws? Do they not seek dictatorial control over you because you have sinned and left God? Yes, indeed. Let's go on. Verse 25. To whom then will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? God says, I want you to learn a lesson. I want you to go outside and look up to the stars. Look to the heavens. And understand that he made them. Verse 26, lift up your eyes on high and behold who has created these things, who brings out their host by number. He calls them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power. Not one fails. That's who God is. He is the great and fantastic creator of everything that can be seen, of all the invisible things, and all the laws and all the powers that hold it together. He is the one who has made mankind. He is the one who has created all of the animals, he says, of the animals of the earth. All the beasts are mine. Isn't that something? And we sit back like ignorant fools and believe that everything came from nothing, and it just evolved. And yet most of them have a wristwatch, and that in itself is a very complicated instrument, yet they didn't wake up one morning and say, ooh, look, there's a watch beginning to evolve on my wrist. Isn't that wonderful? No, they know it was made by someone, right? Yes. Well, who do you suppose made the heavens and the earth and all that in them is? And all human beings that there are. God did. God did. That's who God is. All right, let's come to Deuteronomy 4. We're going to find something else here. This is what we need to understand. God is in heaven. Now, the third heaven may be a whole lot closer to the earth than a lot of people suspect. It's not way out there in the distant universe. It's probably very close to the earth because this is the focus of his attention. Now, let's come to Deuteronomy 4 and verse 39. Therefore, know this day, God speaking to the children of Israel, and fix it in your heart that the Lord is God in heaven above, and on the earth beneath there is none other. He is God. And of the God family, there are two. One is called the Father, the other one is called the Son, Jesus Christ. That's who God is. He's creator. Now also we're going to see he's lawgiver. And we are his creation, made in his image, for a great and tremendous purpose. And that's why he has given his word, called the Holy Bible. And this reveals to us what we need to know about God, so that we can establish personal relationship with him. Because God loves us, God cares for us. But if we go against God, he's also judge. And in being judge, then he's going to execute the penalty for sin. So these are the things that we need to know. Now we'll find out here in a little bit, how do we find God? Does God know me? So please go to our other website, cbcg.org, christianbiblicalchurchofgod.org, Restoring Original Christianity for Today. There we have hundreds of sermons and articles you can download, which will show you many, many things in depth in the Bible. So until next time, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Colder saying goodbye, everyone.